Praise the Lord. Lord, heal this land. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for our freedom. Thank you for our freedom. So, Victor, if I could have you and Miss Jonah, where's Miss Jonah, come up here for a second. Who have I got that's been in the military? Bradford, John, Rob. Come on, Rob. Rob's a retired pilot. Okay. So this is a reason why I have them up here, okay, is that Jonah and Victor are new citizens. They became new American citizens on the same day last year. So that was awesome. And praise God. And then Rob, of course, defended this country and actually was in Vietnam and a pilot. So praise God. So what I want them to do, and I'll they can just do it here with me. I'll hold the microphone over here. If y'all would stand, I want them to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance and in our Star Spangled Banner and so forth, so that we can just open the frame. This is the way we should open it. Amen. Praise God. Be proud of this country. All right. Ready?
Yes, we are. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Okay, and if we do it, stay standing. God bless America. Amen. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. You can be seated. Thank you. Praise God. That's the way that we need to start things. Amen. I'm proud of my country. And having been one of those who was a defender of the nation, and our just to let you know, if you would, please keep our youngest son, Chad, in prayer. He just left yesterday to go back over to Iraq. And so he will be over there flying missions for the next little bit. So obviously it's something that his mama in particular wants you to keep him in prayer. So, praise God. So A lot more folks than I thought were going to show up today, because we got a lot of people traveling and people, 4th of July weekend, sometimes you never know where people are going to be. But anyway, 5:30, by the way, I want to remind y'all, 5:30, David and Jane have a party at their place that y'all are welcome to come to and bring something or whatever. But they do ask that you RSVP so that they know where to stick you, okay? Because... Yeah, just different spots. Yeah, praise God. And it's not in your bulletin, but my wife wants me to remind the ladies as well that CWA, the Christian Women's Alliance, is this coming Saturday. Okay? And you always have a wonderful buffet and a lot of different things. And I don't know, what's your topic this? Oh, the Holy Spirit knows. Just come and find out. Okay, I got you. Okay. Well, praise God. Are you glad to be an American?
Yes.
Boy, that was sweet. Are you glad to be an American?
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Praise God. Yeah, we need to, well, we need to shout like that for the Lord as well. Amen. This is a, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I still am, I'm firmly convinced that this is a Christian nation. This was founded on God's principles, and you know, that's why we need to keep praying that this is gonna, we're gonna see revival. We're gonna see this place come back to being one nation under God, the one true living God. Amen. Praise God. All right. Well, if the praise team wants to come and everything, let's get ready. We're gonna go to the Lord in prayer, and we're gonna go. Praise you, Jesus. And just want to lift up a couple things in our prayer as well. And obviously, Amy, who our song leader, who's been sick and so forth, we need to keep her in prayer. She's still going through some stuff. And we have one of y'all know Jan Rogers, kind of like my little sister in the spirit of things. She's here a lot of times with us from our church over in Fort Lauderdale, where her granddaughter was rushed to the hospital a couple of days ago with a ruptured appendix. And she's, according to their reports, was not been doing well, but we know better than that. Amen. God's got it covered. And, of course, we always want to keep the first responders and the people dealing with the tragedy in Miami in prayer as well. So, praise God. Lord, we just come to you united together as one body. Lord, we come boldly into the throne room of God, but we come humbly before you. And we lift up our voices to you, Lord. We lift up these that need your touch, Lord, for Amy and for Annabelle, for all of those that are in dealing with the situation in Miami. Lord, for as we celebrate the freedom of this nation, we pray for all of those that are on the front lines right now, those that are defending our freedom, those that are out there doing their part so that we can have this freedom to come together like this and to be one with you and to lift you up. Lord, thank you for the technology that you've given us that we can take this word across the world. You know, all of our internet audience that's out there, Lord, I just thank you that they're a part of this family, and we are truly a family of the Lord. Lord, we need to realize it's not who we are, but whose we are that makes a difference. So fill us with your spirit today. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. As we lift you up, as we lift you up in our praises, we know that your promise says that you inhabit the praises of your people. And your promise of your word also says where two or more are gathered in your name. Well, we're here, Lord, and throughout the world on the internet, we're coming in the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names. And so, Lord, we just thank you today for your spirit, that you will guide us, you will direct us, you will show us what to do. We come to celebrate you, and we come to declare that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we declare, Lord, that this is the day. This is the day that's going to make a difference in people's lives as we celebrate our freedom and for this nation and our freedom in you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your presence, and thank you for your love, and thank you for your sacrifice. For we just give you all honor and glory and praise unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. All right, well, give the Lord a shout and get ready to praise his name, okay?
Be ready for warrior. We're warriors today, amen? Let's get a little excited. I think we can do a little bit better than that. Who's excited because we are warriors in the name of Jesus Christ? Who fights our battles for us? Warrior, dress- are marching around us. You know, we don't see things, but we know there's things going on up there, and we're in battles. We are in a battle for America right now. We're a battle for souls. So get your armor on every day. Government of America, You are dismantling the arrogant systems and political forces that have exalted themselves against you. All who have opposed you, along with the strongholds that they have built, will be pulled down, and all unrighteous laws that they have written will be reversed in the coming season of revival and reformation. Their evil ways and activities will be exposed. Your angels are on the move and now to expose and dismantle. We pray and we decree those things in the exalted name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's His battle. It's His battle. Our job is to pray. Gives us all the promises. Trust Him. And He will fight for us. We have to learn to give it to Him and let Him fight. Same as what's going on in the world. Give it to God. God's got this. He's bigger than I am. He's bigger than all of us. He said, trust me and give it to me. Amen. Thank you. Put me back together.
Come on, church, say it from your heart. There's nothing.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Praise you, Jesus. You know, the word says that we're to worship him. We're to worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit. Be open with our spirit and to come and to worship him. We're going to be talking a little bit about what's going on in the spirit realm around you. There's an invisible war that's going on. There's a spiritual war that's happening all the time, all around you. But one of the things that the Lord says is we're to worship him in spirit and in truth. We're to come and to worship him. It's one of the reasons why we have this altar area up here. That's one of the reasons why when we built this place that I had him put soft carpet up here, so that you could come and you could be on your knees if you need to, if you could do whatever, however the Lord leads. But we need to worship him, church. We need to praise him with all that we have and all of our heart and everything that we have. But we need to worship the Lord. To come and to say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Lord, I love you with all my heart. Lord, I trust you with my very being. The Lord loves you. He loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Church, it's not about religion. It says it right there on the door as you come in the door. It said it's not about religion. It's about your life. It's about the life that you have with him. It's about that touch that you have from him. But it's about what you will do for him as well. Do you love him? Do you love him? Then show him that you love him. Worship him with all your heart. Praise you, Jesus. Let's just, okay. Church, let's just use our voices right now. Just to say, Lord, I love you. And
I lift my voice.
Oh, come on, lift your voice.
To worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear.
One more time, come on.
I love you, Lord.
Oh, yes, Lord, we love you.
And I lift my voice to worship you. Oh.
joy. As we come today, Lord, anoint my lips to speak your words, words of life and truth from the very throne room of God. Lord, words that will touch and change lives. Oh, Lord, let it be the truth of your word that changes us. Revelation, Lord, revelation. Let it be revealed to us today what you would have for us to know, so that we can be the best that we can be, that we can do what you've called on us to do, that we can fulfill that very purpose and destiny that you have given to each one of us. Lord, let it be that the church is the church the way that you intend for it to be. Let us be that church. Let us break forth in revival, Lord, to overcome the things of the enemy. Lord, we need you now more than ever before. So we cry out to you. We love you, Lord. And we cry out, heal this land, Lord. Lord, open our spirit ears to hear today. Open our spirit to receive. For we await your presence. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. And in the mighty and powerful an awesome and one and only name, the name above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord, we declare this day that we will be changed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just say that together? Say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. And you can be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, praise team. Whew. Wonderful presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amazing how a simple little song like that, though, if you just express your heart, how that can bring the presence of the Lord. Awesome. Okay, kids, you can go back to children's church or kids' church. I'll get it right one of these days. So praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, we're going to do something special at the end, so hang around. So, got a little something special to end the day with, okay? Besides the fact that today is Family Feast Day, you know, besides the fact that you get to eat, too. Okay? So we're going to give you some spiritual food and then some body food, you know, good old picnic-type stuff, hamburgers and hot dogs and stuff. So praise God. Well, the revelation word for this week, that was what the word was for this week that God gave me, was revelation. And we need to have a revelation. We need to have a revelation in our spirit and in the things that we do. We need to have a new understanding of what's going on around us. I'm amazed, actually, to find out how many people don't really understand the spirit realm that's going on around us. And it's amazing to me how many people that are Christians and claim to be Christians that really and truly just, you know, say, well, I don't know about that. And I was a little disturbed the other day when I saw one of the latest polls that came out that said that over 50% of those who claim to be Christians say they're not sure that there's a hell. And I'm going, what? And you're a Christian. What book are you reading? You know, I understand that you know, you want heaven, but you know, but yeah, it's kind of like Tammy just said, like a smorgasbord. You know, okay, you know, this is a you know, the Holy Bible, only it's holy. You know, it's got holes in it. You know, because they want to, you know, I'll take a little bit of this, a little bit of, oh, I don't want any of that. So let's get to the understanding of what we need to do here. And let me play this little video, and then we're going to talk a little bit, okay? God. But there's an ongoing war that's going on all the time around us, and we need to realize that. Going back to a couple of things that it had in that video, and we'll go to the weekly word that I put in your bulletin, and you know, and just look at what it has to say when you combine these scriptures together out of Ephesians 6 and also from chapter 1. It says, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So God has given us, say us. God has given us authority through Jesus, who he placed in the heavenlies far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Also in the world to come. So, guys, if you want to turn the lights back up, okay? I love it when God gives me a confirmation of something. You know, when I know that he's put a word in my heart, you know, and it's just the Holy Spirit's just stirring me and putting things together, and I'm writing things down. And God comes back and he says, well, let me tell you, you're on the right page, because let me show you some other things that are going on. And I don't know how many of you are following along with Dutch Sheets has a thing called Give Him 15. And daily devotion and prayer and so forth, but he's been right on with some things. And sure enough, I'm reading the thing in this last week, and here he goes, you know, often a thing about the same thing as what I was just talking about the spirit realm of thing, and not enough people paying attention to it. In fact, you know, you ask yourself, and I was looking at what he had to say, and he said, you know, just like what he said, what are the heavenly places? You know, people, the heavenlies, you know, people hear that phrase that's used up here in that scripture, and you say, what are the heavenly places? But it's not referring to heaven. It's not referring to God's home, but it's actually referring to that invisible atmosphere that's all around us. And we need to understand this. We need to understand that it's really an unknown dimension to a lot of us, but in order to fully partner with what God has for us and what he has for us to do and the fullness of his blessing, you know, we need to understand that unseen realm. We need to understand what's going on. You know, because if we don't understand it, it'll eat our lunch. You know, the things about it. We need to understand that it has a significance about it. And the destinies of people and nations and everything are influenced by what's going on in the spirit realm around us. You know, the thing of it is that most people, including Christians, give very little thought to the unseen world that's going on. And in fact, many cultures, and particularly those that are not Christian, that emphasize, you know, higher education and intellectualism and everything else, it becomes very cynical of this dimension's existence. And the Bible is just filled, though. The Bible is filled with examples and everything that we need to know. And the scripture is actually, you know, built around that very essence of the spirit world. Because I look at it, and Dutch Sheets made this comment, and I agree. It says, you know, apart from the invisible realm of the scripture, you know, that is in the Bible, there is no God, Satan, angels, demons, fall of humankind, birth of Christ, redemption through the cross, miracles, or resurrection of the dead. Yet surprisingly, most of the American Christians live our lives without really understanding, you know, that realm and how we can influence it, you know, rather than it influencing us. You know, we've got to consider these things. We've got to consider the fact that the more we learn of the function of this invisible spiritual realm, be able to recognize it and applying the governing principles that God gives us through the very word that he says. He said, we're not fighting against it, but he's given us these extra weapons. You know, and the more we can partner with God, and we can positively impact that spirit realm around us. Because those things that are done in the spirit realm around us, you know, the manifestation of the things in the natural comes from what manifests in the spirit. And we've got to understand that. And if we don't understand that, then you know, what we're doing, you know, is wasted. Because we got to realize it's not something new. This is not a new subject to me. It's something that I've realized has been going on. But you know, I also realized that I don't know enough about it. That I need to know more. I need to know more of what's going on so that I can influence it through our prayer. Because God says, you know, in your prayers, that's a weapon that he's given you. Through our prayers and through our actions, the Holy Spirit, you know, can help us and it can reveal these things to us. And if we do this and we do the right things with it, we become more cognizant of what's going on in that dimension. And it's a very important thing for us to understand. You know, I was very clear with the things when I was looking at this and reading about it and really going to God and asking God, you know, I said, I need a greater understanding of this. And the Lord says, okay, open your eyes to the things that the Word says. Because the major theme of the Bible actually is that there's two invisible kingdoms warring for control of the world. And if we could open our eyes and really see what was going on around us, we would no doubt see that there's a clash of angelic and demonic things going on at all times, you know, with the different parts of it. And I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I know it's occurring around us because God gives us examples of that. You say he does? Yeah, he does. Go with me over to 2 Kings. In 2 Kings, you know, starting in verse 15 in chapter 6, we see the story of Elisha, you know, and his servant. You know, the thing about it was his servant came back, you know, and look at what it says. It says, when the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops and horses and chariots, you know, all around, everywhere. And he come back in, he said, oh, sir, what will we do now? And Elisha told him, don't be afraid. Elisha said, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Now, can you imagine, okay, because I think that some of you are in that same realm right now of some things that you look at. You say, wow, wait a minute. What do you mean there's more for me than against me? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You know, I'm not seeing that. Well, look at what happened. Then Elisha prayed and says, oh, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes. And when he looked, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. And as the Aramean army advanced, Elisha prayed, oh, Lord, please make them blind. And so the Lord struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. You know, and we look at those things, and these are not just stories. You know, made-up type stories. These are things that we need to understand so that we see that the actuality of what's going on. And the invisible forces were there all along. They were there all along. It was just that Elisha's servant couldn't see them until his eyes were open. And so it is with us as well. You know, we live in a world that is filled with the constant activity of these things going on around us. And our natural eyes, you know, can't perceive it. But our spirit, if we will get our spirit in tune with God's spirit, we can understand what's happening around us and the influences that are happening and why they're happening. It amazes me, really, how many Christians, you know, that they claim to believe the Bible and would say, well, you know, in these heavenly places, I still have a problem consciously relating to it. But if we just really understand that any form of prayer, the form of prayer that we have, gives us the authority to deal with these strongholds, gives us the authority to deal with all of these things. You know, and the world, of course, would, those that don't profess to be Christians, you know, they have an even greater problem acknowledging what's going on. And in fact, you know, the very suggestion that you make sometimes of there being an invisible sphere that's influencing the things that are going on, you know, you get a few snickers or worse, you know. I've been called weird, you know, but the thing of it is that we look at it and they mock us about things of the spirit. They mock us about things in the spirit in church. I mean, I don't know how many people have said, you know, what you have a healing service? You actually believe that stuff? Well, yeah, after you see signs, wonders, and miracles happen and the things that are going, you know, it's hard for you not to believe it. And you see the very presence of God. When you can feel the tangible presence of God in this place, you know, it makes a difference. But, you know, you get people that they're skeptical and they laugh at you or they mock you. Well, guess what? That's their problem, okay? But a thing that has always bothered me is that if they mock you about your believing of the spirit realm, and yet they turn right back around and they get into these television programs and movies and books. You know, what about Harry Potter? You know, and all the different things. And they try to say, well, you know, that's this, that's that. But then they believe in the stuff. Yet they won't let you believe in it. But it's a reality. And the reality is that we've got to understand that. At some point, if we're going to truly be effective in our prayer, then we need to acknowledge and understand and learn how to influence the spiritual realm. These are things that God has given us. We've got to move beyond our fear of the criticism and everything and then start really understanding and agreeing with the Scripture. And what does the Scripture say? It says we're created for God. We were created for God, but we were given a free will, which gives us the ability to make choices and decisions. And the choices or decisions then affect our lives. I mean, you think about it. Salvation is actually simple. You believe in Jesus Christ. You repent from your sin. You accept Him as your Savior. But yet the process is complicated because there's a war going on for your soul at the same time. Man apart from God is incomplete. Man apart from God is incomplete. But it's the same with walking with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's simple but yet complicated. Because why? Because we're always being bombarded. You know, ourselves, you know, there's this invisible spiritual arena that is going on inside us and around us and everything that is. But here's the thing that we need to understand. Satan is as real as God. You understand that? Satan is as real as God, but, there you go, but he's limited in what he can personally do. Which is why he releases his minions and demons and so forth that trying to affect, you know, our world and affect our lives. Our struggle, you know, sometimes even though it always seems to be, our struggle always seems to be like it's against flesh and blood. You know, it isn't, you know, people who get in our way. You know, it isn't even ourselves that is our own worst enemy. Even sometimes we think that that's the case. You know, the fact is that sometimes, you know, there's some truth to the fact that people do get in our way or we do ourselves. But ultimately, we've got a spiritual battle going on. And spiritual weapons, you know, are what we need to use to fight with it. Because behind all the physical manifestations, as I said, you've got a spiritual reality that's going on as well. A problem with another person sometimes is not necessarily that person as much as it can be a spiritual situation. You know, we've got, you know, you get a situation that every now and then, even though I don't like to use Christianese, so to speak, because you wind up a lot of times talking to people and they go, huh? You know, what does that mean? But, you know, I still a lot of times will say to somebody that has the enemy's fingerprints all over it. Well, why? Because it's in the spirit realm of things that these things are happening. You know, you've got to realize that the problem with the effects of a fallen world, and especially when it concerns hostility to the gospel and God's way of living, you know, is not truly a struggle against flesh and blood as much as it is in the spirit realm of things. We've got to realize that Satan, you know, Satan had a measure of authority, you know, and to cause harm. But if you think about it, you know, you say, well, why can he get away with that? Well, let's look at a comparison. Let's look at the same situation as the Nazis. The Nazis in the Second World War were actually defeated at D-Day. Their defeat actually came at D-Day. But yet they continued to kill and do things and struggle with the different stuff until V-Day, until the Victory Day. Because why? Because even though they were defeated, they continued to fight. Because why? Because they weren't fully routed yet. Now we face a defeated enemy as well. If you look with me over in Colossians 2:15 says this, says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, he defeated the actions that he did. He defeated the enemy. You say, well, why is it that they, because they're still not fully routed until the end of time. And that's the thing that is still in the Word. But here's the great thing about it, and here's one of these great big buts. You know, now I'm not making reference to anything here. But if you think about it, you know, one of the greatest big buts there is the very weakest of Christians has enough of the power of God and the authority over every demon in hell and should not be afraid of them. Why? Because you have been given that authority. The evil one himself is actually powerless against the church. What's it say in Matthew? Matthew 16:18. It says this. It says, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church. And all, say all. Not just a few, but all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Amen. We've got to depend on that. We've got to rest assured that the Word of God is true. And he's given us this. You know, Satan is our enemy. His strategy can be found in three little words. Yeah, just three words. Define his strategy. Deceive, divide, destroy. Deceive, divide, destroy. Whether it's a nation, whether it's a church, whether it's family, hey, Satan's busy doing all that he can to do those three things. You know, he's a divider, he's a deceiver, he's a destroyer. And that's his purpose. His purpose is to destroy our testimony, to destroy our life physically, destroy our finances, destroy a marriage, destroy families, destroy, destroy, destroy. That's his purpose, and that's all he needs. That's all he does. You know, he plays on the weaker parts of our flesh. He does everything that he can to keep us from being fully committed to God and to serving God. There's no question about it. But the devil knows exactly where you and I are the weakest. And he knows at what point, you know, and exactly what he needs to do to get our attention. But the thing of it is that whether he comes to you with a whole plate full of excuses of what not to do or how to do it or whatever, you have the authority to turn him around. You know, I like that old expression that when devil comes to knock and say, hey, Jesus, it's for you. You know, we've got to remember that where we are. You know, he knows exactly, Satan knows exactly what he wants to do, and he wants to draw us away from God. He knows exactly how to get your mind off of God. You know, and the thing of it is that you know, he's got all of these things, and sometimes, you know, he uses material things and everything to force us to stop thinking spiritually as we should. You know, he draws us away from God to himself in order to thwart God's purpose in our life. He wants to do away with what it is. If the devil can change God's purpose in your life, he's got you right where he wants you. You've got to realize that these things change. You know, he doesn't want you worshiping God. That's one of the reasons why I'm becoming so adamant about worship. Because, you know, if he can get you out of worshiping and God, he can get you to where you will listen to a whole bunch of stuff that he's got to get your attention away from him. Because that's his purpose. He'll tell you, for instance, you know, you hear us say all the time, get in the Word, get in the Word, get in the Word. And we make it very easy. You know, even the one-year Bible, you know, that breaks it down. When you realize that you can take that one-year Bible and you can read all the way through the Bible 15 minutes a day or less, you say, but I don't understand. That's another one of his things. He'll tell you don't have time because why? Well, because you've got to do this. You got to do that, you know. And most of the time when you think, well, you know what? I don't have time to read the Word because I've got to be somewhere at this and this and this time. And when you really don't. You make time. You make time for God. You don't try to find it. If you try to find time, that never happens. But you make time. And the other thing about it is, like I said, and then you say, well, but Pastor, I don't understand everything that I read. No, but your spirit does. And that's a spirit thing that you've got to get, you know, when you realize that God has given you all of these things to turn around and be who he wants you to be. He's given you the weapons to fight your warfare. He gives you those weapons, and he assures you of it. See, you got to realize, Satan hates God. Satan hates God. He hates anything that God's created. Now, you know what he hates most of all? God's children. So in other words, Satan hates you. He doesn't just hate God. He hates you. You've heard that phrase before that said, God loves you and he has a good plan for your life. Well, guess what? Satan hates you and he has a bad plan for your life. And you got to realize that those things are there. Satan wants to hurt God, but he can't, you know, realize he can't hurt God. However, he does have access to you, and he can hurt you. And the quickest way to hurt a parent is to hurt a child. And we've got to realize, but God has prepared us. God has prepared us. God has given us weapons. He's given us strategies to protect us. And he's given us everything that we need to overcome the attacks against us if we will just learn them and use them. It's all there. 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians, beginning with the 3rd verse, says this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. See, we've got to realize that, in other words, you know, we don't war after the flesh, but we're engaged in a warfare. If you're a Christian, you are engaged in a warfare. It's not on the basketball court, it's not on the playground, it's not in a football stadium, but you are engaged in a battlefield. Because it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, they're not carnal, but they're mighty. Say mighty. My weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Apostle Paul said, I'm going to use some weapons that are going to be new to you, but you're going to use them to pull down the devil's strongholds. And these are spiritual weapons that the Word of God gives you in prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working for us and in us and through us. Then he said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Christ. Oh, yeah. But bringing every thought captive. Bringing every thought captive. See, a person who's living in the Spirit, you know, every thought that he has should be in obedience to the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to realize that. Thoughts are harmful, but also they're powerful to help us. Thoughts can be powerful to harm us, but they can also be powerful to help us. The Bible says what? The Bible says, as a person thinks, so it is. You know, as a person thinks, so it is. So here's the question. How are you thinking? What's going through your mind? What do you think when you're alone? Someone once said that plain living and high, you know, and high thinking are no more. I don't believe that. I think you can just go back to living the way that God wants you to and have the thoughts if you take them into captivity, as he said. One of the most important things in our lives is who controls your mind. Think about that. In fact, Proverbs 16:32 says this. It says, better is he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Okay? Better is he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. This means you need to rule the thoughts of your mind. We spend a great deal of time. You know, some of us, you know, some of y'all spend a great deal of time alone, you know? And when you do that, when you're spending that time alone, guess who your companion is? Your mind. And when your mind is your companion, what do you think? What do you think about? What do you talk to your mind about? If that's your only companion, the mind has many things, you know, of ways that you can play with it, and it can play with you. So you've got to realize that even going back to what the prophet Isaiah said, what did he say? He said, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Stayed on you. I know, you know, I think about it. Do you keep your mind on Jesus? Or if you get your mind off of Jesus and you get it onto some things that you shouldn't be thinking about, do you pray to the Lord to forgive you and help you get your mind back on Jesus? I do. Many times. Because your mind is subject to being influenced by the things of the world. But you've got to realize that you have the ability to take it captive and to take all thoughts captive unto the obedience. That's why, you know, Christians are called to live by God's word, not the world. You know, I've said that expression before. You know, we need to get into the word. And how do you get the into the word? You get the L out of the world. Think about that one for a minute. I mean, if we really truly understand and have a proper context of the word and understand its spiritual and cultural and every concept of it, we will live the way that God has for us to live. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is alive and active. It's alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That means that we've got to understand that the word is where we want to be. Get out of the world and get into the word. Romans 12:2 tells us that if we don't, you know, we're not to conform to the pattern of this world, but we're to be what? Transformed. By how? By the renewing of our mind. And God does this for us so that we can understand the things of the Spirit. You know, when we conform, it means to comply and to act in according to harmony with what's out there. But transform. Transform means to change. We need to change. We need to change in form, appearance, structure, you know, everything that we need to do. We need to truly have a metamorphosis of us. And when we do that, we'll have a better understanding of the spirit world that's around us and the things that are going on. Am I making sense to y'all? Because we need to have that revelation. Some of y'all, for the first time in a while, are going to think about the things of the spirit. And understand that, hey, wait a minute, maybe he's got something there. Maybe that's what's going on in my life. Maybe that's why I can't seem to get a hold of things. Maybe that's why I need to pray a little bit more. Maybe that's why I need to ask the Holy Spirit to intercede. Why? Because it said, worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. And it's spirit and in truth. And in that spirit and in truth, you'll find that there's a simplicity to understanding how much of our lives have been influenced by Satan or by the things of the Spirit. And when we get a hold of that, boy, let me tell you something. When you understand how to block that, when you understand how to take those thoughts captive, you know, one of the biggest things that I deal with when dealing with some of the guys and girls, actually, that, you know, when dealing with the subject of pornography, one of the best ways to overcome it is learn how to take your thoughts captive and declare them. And realize that this is a spiritual thing. This is something that is going on. And if the devil can get to you, like I said, if he can get a hold of you, he's got you where he wants you. If he can get a hold of your mind. So we've got to block those things. We've got to take those things captive. You know, there's a situation that we've got to allow, you know, we've got to allow our spirit self to take control of things so that the world cannot influence us. So that we influence the world instead. Biggest part that we have, we've got to be aware. If you are not aware of the battle going on around you, you can walk right into the middle of it, and it'll eat your lunch. But if you're aware, if you are aware, and you are aware of the enemy that's there, but yet the weapons that God has given you to do things with, then you can overcome it. You've got to be aware of the battle. Because when you're aware of the battle, guess what God tells you to do? Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. You put on that helmet of salvation to protect those thoughts. Think about the different parts of the armor. You put on the breastplate of righteousness to do what? To protect your heart. You put on the belt of truth so that you know what is and what isn't. Because all of the armor, if you think about back in the old days, all of the armor hung off of that belt and the belt of truth. You put the gospel of peace upon your feet. so that you will, those feet will take you where you're supposed to go and not where you're not supposed to go. And then you take up that shield of faith. Oh, yeah, the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the enemy, that protects you from all those things that, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen any of the simulations of what the Romans used to do in battle, you know, why they carried those shields, because they would all get together, and when the enemy would fire their arrows and everything at them, they would all get together and they put those shields up, and it would form a protective coating over, a protective roof over the top of them, protect them from the fiery darts. But then take up what? The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when you know the Word, that's the important reason. That's the very important part of why we tell you, be in the Word, be in the Word, be in the Word. Because when you know the Word and you know what the promise of God is, you can do what He tells you to do, and you can fend off the attacks of the enemy. So put on the whole armor of God. Take up the weapons that He's given you and stand strong before Him. Because when you stand and you declare that the enemy has to flee, when you stand up to him, he's got to go. He's got to go. Get into the Word. Understand the truth. Understanding the truth, we need to declare our victory. We need to declare our victory. And the best way to declare our victory is let's have a revival. Let's have a revival. Let's have a revival the way that God intended it for it to be. Let's worship Him. Let's praise Him. Let's bring His presence into being. And His presence will overcome the presence of the enemy. But don't mistake the fact that there's something going on in the spirit realm around you. When you understand that and you take control over that with the weapons that God has given you, your life is going to be totally different. And you're going to shake up. You're going to shake up the very essence of hell. Because it says what? That the gates of hell and all of the powers of hell cannot prevail against the church when God is for it. But you can shake it up. You can shake it up. I want to finish with this. I want to just give you a little idea of what goes on in the spirit realm. I played this for y'all before, but and it's old, it's an oldie but goodie, so you're going to have to realize that it's not going to be real clear, you know, with things. But Carmen did a thing, you know, bless Carmen. You know, how many know that, you know, he passed this last year, you know, he passed. Actually, he died right about the same time Mama Jean did, so. But anyway, but he came out with some really good stuff, and this was one of them that I just really enjoy of when his thing about revival. Of shaking up the very essence of hell. So I just thought it would be a great way to end things. And praise team, if you want to come during this, you can enjoy it too, but at the same time, but we're going to finish with a little special something that we're going to do, okay? So.
In the center of the caverns of hell, hidden are the layers of evil that have thrived for centuries, sets the morbid domain of the prince of the power of the air. Suddenly, a scaly creature disrupts Satan's ghastly existence with an urgent message, and it reads, "No dread problem, confidence needed, disaster forecasted." With a disgusted annoyance, this General of Evil agrees to confer with his chief demon lieutenant. This is the story of that encounter.
You may enter.
My Lord Satan.
State your business and make it fast.
Sir, we're having problems of cataclysmic proportions.
Where?
In the East Sector, sir. The damage is vast.
Is there something wrong with my abortion clinics?
Well, no, sir. That's all fine. We kill 4,000 unborn a day through, shall we say, surgical removal.
Good.
It's selective breeding. We eliminate human life in the name of convenience, like the Nazis and the Jews, and with the government's approval.
Is there a problem with my pet project, television violence?
Sir, it's covered from videos to cartoons. By the time a child graduates high school, he's seen 70,000 murders.
Is this effective enough?
Sir, just watch the news.
Is there a disturbance in my false religion?
Oh, no, sir.
business is booming. Over 40 million are into New Age and Zen. Over 45 million believe in astrology.
Looks like we are catching up.
Yes, sir. Only 50 million claim to be born again.
Is there a problem with business in general?
Sir, we're showing tremendous progress.
Yeah.
Teenage runaways, each year a million or more. There's a teen suicide every 90 minutes. And your specialty, drunk driving,
yes,
will claim more lives this year than the whole Vietnam War.
Well, is there a disturbance in there? What was that?
Sir, that's the reason all these demons are on crutches and wobbling.
What's going on?
Sir, that's what I've been trying to tell you.
What is that?
Sir, that is our problem.
Only one thing causes warfare of this magnitude.
Then, sir, you know what we are dealing with up there.
Yes, it's some of those sanctified...
Try blood-bought.
Spirit fuel.
Saints of God.
Actually.
Presently on their knees. They're literal holy terrors. They bind us, cast us out. Then they do those disgusting charismatic jinks. They quote scriptures like the Son of God. And sir, if you don't intervene, we all might wind up in a bunch of pigs. Sir, that's the good news. The bad news is the subject of their prayers that threatens our survival. What they're praying for is causing hemorrhaging in the realms of darkness.
The bad news is...
Sir... They're praying for revival!
I hate revival. It just erupts. It's hard and controllable. At the Azusa Street uproar, things got rough.
Yes, sir. And when the charismatic movement hit, sir, we were jumping out of windows. With all of that, untie my bow tie. Who stole my hand and stuff?
Then I'll come in like a flood.
But they'll say the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against you. It's written in the Word.
I'll form weapons against
them. Sir, no weapon formed against them shall prosper. That's in the Bible too.
Yes, I've heard. I'll hit them with every filthy, lusty thought you can imagine.
But it's written, resist the devil and he must flee.
Obviously, the enemy is taking the battle more seriously than we are.
And that's very dangerous, sir. Especially for me.
Time to launch my final vicious attack. I'll remind the saints of their past, how they were liars, cheaters, manipulators, and vultures.
But sir, you know what will happen if you remind the saints of their past.
And what is that?
Sir, they'll just remind you of your future.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
While the worship team comes up, if you take out this blue sheet in your bulletin. How many know that America is under siege? Okay, and the whole world. If you look at the bottom of this, it says right there, third bullet from the bottom. It says, praying for our nation every day through the week. Every single element of our culture, the enemy has tried to infiltrate. And you saw a little bit of that in the video, which is all biblical. Okay, so on Sunday, we pray for the church in Israel. Do you see that? Monday, we pray for families. And MUCH stands for Mothers Undercover Hovering. And we pray for our children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, the next generation. Tuesday, we pray for business. Wednesday, we pray for government. Thursday, we pray for media, entertainment, sports, and the arts. That's not on there. Friday, we pray for education. And Saturday, we pray for military, law enforcement, and first responders. The enemy has tried to infiltrate every single one of those arenas. Do you agree? Okay. So how are you going to fight it? You're going to pray. You're going to pray and pray the word. So every day, join us that day of the week. Join us for what we're praying for, and in particular during July 4th. Pray for the first responders and for the military, okay? I just found out that someone that I graduated with in high school a few years ago has a son-in-law who was a Marine, and when he landed in Afghanistan, he lost his best friend and four guys in his group his first week there. And he ended up coming back, and he is now a policeman. Pray for the policemen. They're being totally disrespected. Okay. We need to pray. They deal with trauma like you don't know trauma. Okay. So pray for them. Are you okay? Raise your hand if you're willing to pray. Are you willing to pray? Okay. Praise God. Here's a little blessing. Join us.
This song was released in 1984. I learned it then and sung it a lot. But it never loses its meaning. It never weakens, because it's all about our future and us, how we get along, how we can prosper, and how we're thankful to be able to live in this country.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I worked for all my life, and I had to start again, just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and we can't take that away.
To the prairies, to the ocean.
God bless America. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless America. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to finish up with one last little thing and get ready to have some lunch together. Praise God for all that he's done for us. Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you for this day, for the word that has gone forth. Lord, I thank you for lives changed and your revelation knowledge that has been imparted to us today. We will never be the same, and I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for freedom. We are going to have freedom in our life, just like we have freedom in this country, Lord. I thank you for that revelation that you've given us to give us that freedom. So, Lord, be with us now as we go our ways, the different things that we do. Bless the food that we're about to partake of. Lord, I thank you for your provision. And, Lord, I thank you for everything that you're doing in us, through us, for us, and with us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to play one last song that, you know, that just signifies that you can get ready to go. But you can bring your tithe and offering. You can take communion. You can come to the altar and just say, hey, you know, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because we got a lot to be thankful for, all right? But we're going to do one last song because God is on the move. Amen? So God is on the move, and then we're going to move on down the way and have some lunch together.
Anytime a heart turns from darkness to light, anytime temptation comes and someone stands to fight, anytime somebody lives to serve and not be served, I know. God is on the move, on the move. Hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, on the move. Hallelujah. God is on the move today. Anytime in weakness someone falls upon their knees, or dares to speak the truth that sets men free. Anytime the choice is made to stand upon the word, send me here, I go.
All right. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Awesome day. Good day for things. Great day in the Lord. And just be blessed, okay? Be safe out there. And some of you will see you at Dave and Jane's later on, okay? So right now, come, let's go have some hot dogs and hamburgers. Burgers and dogs. Jane, wave your
hand.
All right, praise the Lord. God bless y'all.